was really a pretty great gathering, good time. And so we have a number of people that are gone today as well. But I tell you what, I'm really glad for Allie and Aaron as they're kind of taking a new step in their life together now. You know, we spent the time, we went to a reception afterward at their home with all their relatives and everything. And they come out of a very interesting background, okay? We met so many of their relatives and everything. And even for the influence of Eric and Tina, that family is really growing in Christ, coming to Christ, and they're growing now. And it's really interesting to see how so many of the family are being influenced even by Eric and Tina's testimony, okay? So it's really kind of exciting. Well, you can take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open them to 1 Peter chapter 1. Have you ever quit in something which you really regretted afterward? Have you ever failed in something which made you feel like a real loser? As we have reviewed the life of Simon last week, we saw that he knew what it was to fail. He knew what it was to deny the Lord three times. And the Lord, though, prayed for him, as we looked at last week, that his faith would not fail. And he says, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Well, Simon did come back to be a mighty, mighty influence and the leader in the church for the Lord. As you know, you can see that the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts follow the life of Peter. But, you know, today we're going to be looking at how Peter strengthens the believers in the book of 1 Peter, the letter that he wrote here. These were believers that had scattered throughout the world at that time around Israel. You see, because they were Jewish, primarily Jewish, and they were primarily Gentiles, primarily Jewish and primary Christians. So on one hand, the Jews were persecuting them, and so they had to flee the Holy Land. And they went to different other areas throughout the Roman Empire. They were scattered about different areas. We find that in verse 1. Look at it. It says, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They had scattered everywhere. But even when they went other places in the Roman Empire, because they were Jewish, Jewish people were being persecuted in the Roman Empire. So they were under the gun for being Jews. They were under the gun for being Christians, those of the way. And so Peter is writing them to encourage them to keep on in their faith, to keep on standing strong for Christ, not to throw in the towel, because it would have been tempting, awfully tempting, to lay low. Let's have nothing to do with this Christianity because it was causing them some real difficulties in life. Now, Peter wasn't using any psychological techniques here. He was just going out of his experience from what he experienced in his life, how he had, on occasion, thrown in the towel, so to speak, that he had denied his Lord. And even as I thought of this and thought of Peter's life, I remember a time also that Apostle Paul recorded of Peter, that's recorded in the book of Galatia, how when Peter came to believers who were eating with Gentile believers, Jewish believers eating with Gentile believers, Peter separated from the Gentile believers under the pressure of the Jewish people. And so that the Apostle Paul eyeballed him eyeball to eyeball and rebuked him in front of everybody. Now the amazing thing is about Peter. Peter was the leader in the church, and yet he was being rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, for he was to be blamed. And you think about that afterward. When Peter, in his epistles here, writes of the Apostle Paul, he calls him my beloved brother Paul. And he talks about his epistles. Some are hard to understand, but he calls him his beloved brother. Peter had been humbled in his life. And, you know, even as I look back over my life, you know, now it's there's been some ground under our feet that we've covered. Nancy and I have celebrated our 43rd anniversary this year. That's pretty good, isn't it? We look back and we look at my folks and we say, man, were they old when they were 40? Had they been together 40 years, right?
You don't look at yourself that way oftentimes. When we remember his 50th anniversary, remember her mom and dad's 50th anniversary. We're going down the road a ways here. But sometimes, even as I look back over my old life, I see of times that where I've quit certain things and I felt very, very bad about it afterward, or where I've blown it and I've failed. And the worst part about it is when you do that when you're older, you know, you think, boy, I ought to have learned the lessons by now. You know, but the amazing thing is, just as we had a video this morning in our young adult Bible fellowship, Otto Kroning, even though you blow it a number of times, the Lord will always forgive. And he will pick you up again. And that's what he did with Peter. And so Peter, from his experiences, he's encouraging these believers. The theme of the book of 1 Peter is suffering. They're going through suffering. Now, we in the United States aren't going through the same suffering like these believers were. Physical suffering and exclusion and isolation, loss of jobs. But there are plenty other believers in the world today that are going under such suffering, especially those who are in the Islamic countries today. Terrible sufferings. We have here people that have, of course, Amos and Fazia from Pakistan. It's difficult to be a Christian in Pakistan. And so some of these other nations, people are really suffering. But even we in the United States, there are times when we're going to be excluded, when we're not going to be part of what's going on because we live a different lifestyle. And then there is the suffering just because you're a believer. Maybe not at people's hands. You can run into opposition in many other areas too, because we have an enemy now. And more than anything else, and you know, we look at a smaller congregation like we have. I know so many of you people have been involved so heavily, and you've been involved in this work for a number of years, and you go on and you get tired, even like we were saying in the song that we sang. You can get tired, and you just want to quit. Well, Peter addresses that those feelings that we have when we're tired, when we're weary, when we've failed, when we're enduring persecution and suffering. And so I want to summarize the book of Peter today, just get an overview, by about four things that Peter does in this book that I've observed to strengthen other believers. And I hope you will remember these things and you will apply them in your own life and maybe even deal with people who are also undergoing sufferings and persecutions. Well, let's look at some of these things that Peter used to strengthen his brethren in trials. But before we do that, can we just look to the Lord one more time in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, what a great God you are. I even thought of these songs that we sang this morning. They were so praiseworthy, Lord. And we wanted to get every word. So we backtracked and made sure we were able to sing, even though the computer wasn't operating. But that's because we want to exalt you in our praises because you've done so many great things. Now you, by the Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see things this morning when we meditate on these things, and may it impact and change our lives, even as we look at just an overview of what Peter wrote in his first letter. We give you thanks now as we ask you deliberately for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that Peter did, which encourages these believers and strengthens them, he gave them what I call this, great expectations for the future. Great expectations for the future. They had a future, and the future was great. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's just pause there. He was telling them about your future. And we just finished a survey just recently on heaven, about the things that we ought to focus on, those things that are ahead. Because when you focus on those things that God has prepared for you, it'll help you endure where you really are right now. How many athletes and Olympic contestants are able to accomplish great things and endure the most rigorous training and trials? Why? Because they're looking ahead at the possible victory and glory that awaits them. But you know, Peter says, focus on that which is ahead. That's so important. Great expectations. The first thing is that he talks about the living hope they have, the hope of the resurrection. Do you recall how we, when we talked about this subject, about the body that awaits us? Yesterday, Nancy and I were talking to, I think it was Tina's grandfather, if I get it right here. He had a, what do you call those, do-rags or whatever they're on the head, Harley Davidson shirt, you know. He was a Harley Davidson rider, and he's been doing this for years. He's been a member of a gang. As we were talking, though, he can barely breathe. Wherever he goes, he's got to take his oxygen with him right now. And as we're talking and we're going over things, I'm praying to myself, Lord, if you give me an opportunity, let me share the gospel with this man because of the fact his health is so bad. Who knows how long he's got? And as we're talking, I don't know how it happened, but he says, I don't worry about that because I know Christ is coming soon. He said that, okay? And as we talked about this, and he brought up the subject, you know, so we went and we talked about that. I could tell, though, that even if he believed in the biblical things and he was, you know, he had a background on this, and no doubt when you're thinking about ending your life, you want to think about what's ahead. It comes naturally. But as I talked to him, I could see it was the idea of your good works get you to heaven, your bad works go to hell. And so his goal in life was that his good works might outweigh his bad works, right? And so I had a chance to share my personal testimony of how important it is that Jesus Christ paid it all, right? And now we can know for sure that we have this hope of heaven and a hope of a brand new body. Now, somebody with COPD already had part of his lung removed. What a blessing it is to think. And even as I know, just looking around here, I know that each one of us, even you young people, younger people, have had health difficulties. And when you get in those times that it's painful in your body, what a thing to realize that we've got a new body that awaits us. It's going to be a supernatural body. It's going to be very natural as well. But you remember, if it's like Jesus Christ, Jesus was able to eat and enjoy food in his resurrected body. Where's the honeycomb? Remember? In the bread, and you can see him licking his fingers with the honey on him. How cool would that be, right? And this is the brand new body now. This is a body that is not going to decay. And we've gone over this, but I just wanted to reiterate it again. That this is the promise that we have of the hope of the resurrection. This past week, I don't remember what it was that triggered it. I think we were talking to somebody about a lake in Minnesota, that's what it was. And all of a sudden I had these feelings of really, I got a lump in my throat as I was thinking of my dad who passed away a year ago. And I told my wife, I said, I sure miss him, you know. And she has often said that to me too, of her father. You know, we miss him. But guess what? We'll see him again. My dad and I have already made a pact. He was a big fisherman, you know, and that's when he talked about Lake Vermilion. We've caught many walleyes, him especially, of course, out of Lake Vermilion in northern Minnesota. But I told my dad, Dad, one day you and I are going to go fishing in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea doesn't have a fish in it right now, but that body of water is going to be healed. So let's make plans right now to fish in the Dead Sea. Why? Because we believe what God says is true and it's going to happen one day, right? But we have this hope of a living resurrection. And when things get tough, we can look forward to this. And then he also talks about not only the living resurrection, but he talks about this inheritance that we have, a non-depreciating inheritance. You know, Nancy and I, when we look, kind of, we're looking maybe toward retirement years, but we don't know whenever that would be. But I've talked to other people who've gone into retirement, and they've got a big RV, And when I see those RVs cruising down the highway, I think to myself, boy, would that be nice to cruise around the United States in an RV, right? Have you ever seen the cost of those things, though? They're new, like they're over $200,000, those things are, those ones, the motorized RVs. But you know what? They're depreciating. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I invest in something that's going to continually decrease in value, right? That doesn't make sense. But listen, the inheritance that God has for us, and we've talked about the New Jerusalem and the beauty of that, we're going to have personal possessions. Remember, Jesus said, if you're not faithful right now in that which is given you that does not belong to you, do you think you own your home? You don't really. Your personal possessions are not yours right now. Everything belongs to God. But Jesus said that one day, how are you going to be faithful that when that which is given to you that is of your own? See? There's going to be inheritance. What a wonderful thing. So we're to look forward to this. And then he talks about a purified faith. You know, right now we can't see what we look like on the inside. You know, those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, there is a new man that resides inside this body. This outward body is decaying. Isn't that what the Bible says? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The outward body is decaying. But inwardly, there is this new man, and this new man is going to be revealed when Jesus Christ is revealed. We shall be like him, 1 John says, chapter 3, because we shall see him as he is, and we're going to be just like him. The inward part of us is going to be transformed. The outward shell is going to be done away with, either in death or at his coming. But it's just like a moth that goes and builds a cocoon. The outward part is shed, the cocoon is shed, and out comes this butterfly. You and I are going to experience a metamorphosis. It's a faith that we're going to see in within, that it's all of a sudden going to come out in the open. So that's what the Bible talks. We have this faith in the trials that we have in life. The sufferings are purifying that faith, building within us confidence in the Lord, more trust in the Lord, more strength in the Lord inwardly. It's worth every bit of any trials and suffering that we could go through, seeing things develop and character be developed on the inside. And then he says, look at that then. I'll just read it right here in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what we have to look forward to. Deliverance, salvation of our souls. So we rejoice in that. And how great this is. Do you know, remember in this country some years ago when there was slavery in this country? And we've got some of those spirituals that have come out of that time, when those who were the slaves were singing, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." They were going through tremendous sufferings at that time, and even today oftentimes, but they looked forward to a time when God was going to deliver them from that. So when we're going through trials and sufferings, and Peter has them focus on your future and that which is to come. It'll help you endure your trials right now. Well, the second thing, besides giving them great expectations about their future, second, he gives in this epistle specific exhortations or instructions for the present, commands. They're all through this book. I've written down a number of them. I'll just share them in just a little bit. But, you know, this is something that we see elsewhere in Scripture as well. For example, do you remember in the Old Testament when Elijah had fought the prophets of Baal? Great victory in bringing Israel back to follow the Lord rather than all the false idols. And there was this great storm that came. Well, when Jezebel, the wicked woman, the queen, heard what Elijah had done, She made this vow, God, do so to me and more also if I do not make him like one of those prophets that was killed by this time tomorrow. And here Elijah fought, you know, stood for the Lord, but now he was afraid and he ran. And he went to Mount Horeb, went great, great distance, and he was down, he was depressed. He was like he was defeated in his heart. And the Lord met him, and the Lord supplied some nourishment of him. But the Lord, what the Lord did to get him back on track and out of his depression and out of that frame of mind, he gave him things to do. He gave him, you go and anoint this one. And you, Elisha the prophet, go and anoint this king for Syria. And he gave him some tasks to do, and Elijah was set back on track. And that's what the effect is in the book of Peter, where we got these commands that we need to do. It takes our mind. You know, when somebody is going through difficulty, and I'm sure all of you have faced this, where you talk to somebody and their attitude was, woe is me. I've got really problems, and they keep on getting worse. Have you found that it's helped when you say, oh yeah, you sure do, and you commiserate with them, and you got a lot of problems. Let's talk about your problems, you know. Have you found that that really doesn't help them? We're not trying to do some gymnastics, mental gymnastics with them, but it helps if they have a task before them that they need to do. How many people, mothers or fathers, even though they're sick and in pain, they derive strength in serving other people. Do you remember that commercial on TV where the mom checks in? She's got sniffles. I mean, her eyes are running. And she says, I'm sorry. I got a report. I got to take a day off today. And the camera turns and there's a little child in the room. Say, moms don't take days off. You know, that doesn't happen that way. Or the father does it the same way. No, dads don't do that. They got a job to do. They still got to be a dad. They still got to be a mom, right? And so I think the commercial's for some medication, right? But it's true, though, when you have things that you need to do, how many single parents have you just been in awe because of what they do with all the responsibilities that they have with children and things like that? They accomplish so much because they've got a job to do. Isn't that interesting? So Peter gives them these commands. I remember hearing of one person who was in the depths of depression. Somebody gave him a project to do. Why don't you do this? Get out some cards and write thank you notes to everybody in the past that has been a blessing to you. And so the person says, okay, I'll try that. And pretty soon, any depression that they had was completely disappeared as they realized and they gave thanks and they wrote out these cards to others because they saw that they didn't need to be down and depressed, right? Well, these people are suffering, but Peter gives them some commands. I've got a number of commands that start with the word H. Look at this. He said, fix your hope. We just read that. Be holy as he is holy. Be hungry. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Be humble. Submit yourself to every ordinance of men. All these commands. Honor the people. Love the brethren. Fear God. Honor the king. Be harmonious. All of you be of one mind. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. He was given specific instructions, marching orders of things for them to do. And that's going to help them in their trials. So when people are struggling, we see by Peter, he gives them, has their hope in the future, and he gives them commands in the present. And then right here he says, also, he gave them worshipful exaltations to God for their past. Now, what do we mean by this? Worshipful exaltations. Well, a lot of people are frozen by their past. Do you realize, I've told you that at times that I go back over my life and I say, oh, I blew it here, oh, I blew it there. But I don't dwell on that. I've learned that I can't dwell in the past. I'm telling you, if you dwell in the past, you're crippled for the future too. Yes, we've blown it, but we try to, like Apostle Paul, forgetting those things that are behind and looking ahead. But what really helps is what Peter did here. He let them know about what God did for them in the past, rather. You know, let me give you an illustration of this. Today in our society, we have two extremes. I think sometimes when I hear of the news down in Chicago, and you see more and more children being fired and the gunshots happening, you know, there's a lot of children in this world today that think they are worth nothing. I mean, you could just start with the subject of abortion itself. What does abortion teach? That baby within the womb is worthless. It's aborted. What does that signal to little children? I wonder. But there's so many children today that because of the dysfunctional families and the breakup in the homes and the way they're treated, they do not value themselves like as if they have any no worth whatsoever. Now, that's on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin in our society, we know today that there are a lot of parents that are really sinking a lot of time with their kids, and they're bringing them to the soccer games, and then they're bringing them to the volleyball games. And we look at over here on Sunday morning how many parents are involved. But the interesting thing about this, sometimes the family is run ragged. These are supportive parents, though. But isn't it interesting that a lot of kids in our society, and you see it in the public schools, they're all told over and over again, you can do it. You can do it. Just put your mind to it. You can do it. And we've kind of laughed about it, but isn't it true that they don't just give trophies to the winners anymore? What do? They give trophies to everybody because you don't want to single out anybody, right? Everybody's a winner. I read one statistic one time where it talked about they measured those in the different countries, how skilled they were in mathematics, okay? And so they tested high school kids from Japan, all over the world, in the United States. Well, guess what? Kids in the United States at this time, for the tests that they were given, had about a C average. They were about number 17 or 18 in the world for those knowing mathematics. But when they tested, how do you feel about your skills in mathematics? What do you think the United States kids felt? They were at what? They were at the top. I believe I'm great in mathematics, right? That's the way it is in our society. You can do it. You can do anything that you put your mind to it. Everybody's great. But you know, that's kind of hyperinflation, wouldn't you say? How blessed is a child whose parents love them unconditionally, and yet that parent just doesn't reward them for no reason at all, but teaches them to work hard and achieve and succeed in some task and get the satisfaction of working hard to master an instrument, to get the satisfaction of working hard to do something in art or any area like that where their parents have shown them the way to succeed and get the feeling of satisfaction. Listen, if you don't do anything and you get a trophy for it, what kind of feeling of satisfaction do you have for that? Right? Well, Peter does something very similar to this. First of all, he gives them a past pedigree. What has God done for you? You are valuable to God. This is what the scriptures tell us here in Peter. You were chosen by God. You were begotten by God. These are the believers. You have been protected by God's power. You were redeemed by the greatest price that God could pay, the very blood of the Son. Don't you think you're valuable in God's eyes? That's on the one side. And he goes through this book with all the things that God, but the exaltations are toward God, not toward the individual. Yes, you're valuable in God's eyes, but follow up with this question. Why did God do that for you? Was it because of some value that you had? I mean, something that you achieved? Are you worthy of the praise and honor? The praise and honor goes to God. The Scripture encourages us to be what? Servants, right? To work and to serve others, not to be served. So on one hand, he goes and he talks about what God has done for them, and then he gives them some examples of how you achieve and have success in life. And what's the example give? The example is Jesus Christ. The way he endured in his sufferings. Because there's a lot of, put it this way, going back to that illustration, there's a lot of children who are being raised today that do not know how to do different things. They do not know how to clean off the table and put things in the dishwasher. They do not know how to clean their room and stuff like that. Kids, you just can't let them do whatever they want. You have to teach them and instruct them and show them the way. That's what it is to succeed in life, right? And Peter does this, sets forth this by giving the example of Christ. Peter described Jesus' life in Acts chapter 10 when he said, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We've got an example, a very concrete example of how what God has revealed, how his love for us, so we're of value, but the praise goes to him, but he's shown us how we can have fruitful experience in this life. Well, so what do we look so far? Peter, in his failings, what he's learned, he gave him great expectations, specific exhortations, and worshipful exaltations of God, not of them, but of God, of what God's done in their past. And one other thing I want to say here that's noticeable as you go through this epistle, Peter gives them clear explanations to help their anytime questions. Clear explanations to help their anytime questions. I got to explain that one a little bit too. You see, when you're going through trials and struggles and failures, one of the first questions that pops in your mind is, why? Why did this happen to me? Why? Why, Lord? And I think sometimes Satan puts that idea in our mind to think, we're being persecuted, but what did we do to deserve that? Why? Now, why is a question that's very hard to answer. We don't always know the answers to that. But you know, I've noticed this, if I've watched, when people are going through tough times, it helps to have some clarity of thought and some answers in their life. For example, when you have just lost a loved one, say a wife has lost her husband or husband or wife, how great it is to have a pastor or a funeral director come and say, let me tell you what we need to do at this point. We need to do this, 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 and have a clear path forward. Those clear explanations really help. And I've watched it. I think I mentioned to you this before. I was dealing with a family in our church in the first pastorate, and their mother was going to have brain surgery. This was a difficult time in their life. And I watched that neurosurgeon in the hospital in Superior, Wisconsin, come over there and explain to these parents, or the husband and the kids, what was going to happen. We're going to do this. And he explained step by step by step by step what they were going to do. And all of a sudden it was kind of like, okay, I think we can manage now. And I find that even in my job in physical therapy, I'm trying to learn all the time. Because when people are struggling with back pains, with knee pains, why does my knee hurt so much? It hurts right here. And you say, I don't know, but I'll try to find an answer. And so you go and you give them some, you go and you search and you study and you come back and say, this is the problem that you're having. Let me see if you've got some muscle knots up here. Or let me see if you've got a patellar tracking problem here. And say, you sure do. We got to strengthen this muscle over here. You know, that seems to, when you give some clear explanations to people, they're relieved and they're helped. So Peter does these things, and it's not psychological. He just does what the Holy Spirit leads him to do, even through the trials that he's been through. When you and I go through trials, we build faith. We can look forward. We can realize that there's specific commands. Don't keep in the negative vein. Just get out and start working, start doing. And then just praise God for what he's done in the past, how he loves you, how he cares for you. And Jesus Christ has shown us the way to go. We follow his example, and then we get clear instructions. But you can realize that in your own life, but you can also guide other people in the same way, just as Peter has done then. Well, these believers were passing through some very difficult trials and persecutions. They wanted to quit and throw in the towel, no doubt. But Peter, by his heartful experiences, urges them to persevere. The principles that he told these people apply to us today, and we're going to go through and study this book now, and we're going to see some more and learn some more even as we go through this epistle of 1 Peter. But, you know, it could be that where you are today, I don't know where you are. I know that, you know, I can't point everybody else, but I know even looking around the room that some of you are struggling right now with different things. I tell you how wonderful it is, like when Rose comes to prayer meeting and she says, I was hurting really bad in my back and my back feels great now. That's great, isn't it? But there are some people, I went to school with a guy in cemetery. Slip of the tongue there. I went to school with a guy in seminary, and I think the disease he had was tic de la rue or something like that. But as you would talk to him, he would go, every time. He'd have these nerves in his face. I don't know if they're cranial, what nerves it was, but there was some malady that he had that he all of a sudden intense pain would come into the nerves in his face. And so it was distracting to talk to him because he would do that all the time, but he was in pain all the time. But as long as we were in seminary, he never got any relief from that. But you know what? I'm sure that God was using that to build in this young man's life. Some maybe they found new procedures to help them with that. I haven't been keeping in touch. But there are some conditions, some things that you cannot do anything about. You're stuck with those in the conditions, right? But I tell you, there's relief that we have in the Scriptures and the hope that we have. And so we just praise God for what we have in Scripture, and we're going to learn more about even as Peter guides us through in the days ahead. Let's just look to the Lord in closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the life of Peter and how you developed the strengthening capabilities in him because of his failures. And Lord, we've blown it so many times ourselves. And it could be that we get downhearted because of the trials that we're in right now. I just ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would remind us of these things and help us to keep going on. If you've put us in this place and we can't get out of this place, Lord, just help us to keep enduring and giving you praise and thanks for your love and what you have planned for us in the future. We give you thanks now for this time spent in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for your wonderful message. How wonderful it is that we have a story we can tell our neighbors, our friends, about how God sent his son to this earth to die for us, that we can have new life in him, that we can rely on him during the good times.